Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website, which I will post a link to below this interview. Now, John, when you and I were talking off mic, you brought up some recent news that has been reported on some of the, let's call them, secondary websites when it comes to SLV, the silver ETF that is run by JP Morgan, or JP Morgan is the custodian for that ETF. Now, some of the recent wording that has been put into the ETF's prospectus alludes to the fact that there might not be enough silver to be delivered if there is another rush into the silver market. This is also going on the back of that short squeeze that happened in silver. It only lasted, as all the other short squeezes recently have lasted, about 4 days, but it really didn't have the same impact that the short squeeze did on some of the other stocks, individual stocks that were pushed higher. John, what do you think is significant about that change in the wording in the prospectus for SLV?
Hey, Corey. Well, you know, it looks like the Reddit short squeeze attempt in silver wasn't an abject failure. It may have had some lasting results. And one of them was that, you know, it brought the dynamics of the silver market to the attention of a lot more people. And, you know, silver is just generally tight. And we've been saying that forever, right? That sooner or later, you know, the COMEX would have to break because there isn't enough of available silver to satisfy all the demand. Well, this week, SLV changed its perspective to acknowledge that. You know, they basically said, you know, cooking the wording down, they said, hey, there might not be enough silver next time there's a tight situation in the market or a spike in demand for us to accumulate the silver that we're promising you we will accumulate under those circumstances. So be forewarned, you know, who knows if that ever comes of anything. It might just be the lawyers seeing what goes on out there and wanting to put that in just in case. Or it might be that the market is actually pretty tight and SLV foresees the real possibility of a squeeze in which there just isn't enough silver of any kind for them to be able to load up the way they would, you know, be contractually obligated to do. So I don't know. We'll see. But I think the lasting impact of the whole Reddit short squeeze publicizing the silver market the way it did is that it brought the story to a lot more people who may not have thought about it before, you know, because, you know what silver is. You don't know necessarily what it is as an investment or as money or anything, but you know silver exists out there. And now all of a sudden, a lot of people who are in that boat are aware that it's, you know, it's a monetary metal, which will go up if we screw up our finances, and we are screwing up our finances. And it's in very short supply because, in part, because industrially, you know, a lot of the alt energy kinds of technologies like electric cars and solar panels use silver. And also because the fact that it's a monetary metal means that the bigger U.S. deficits are and the bigger our stimulus programs are and the more deeply towards zero and below that we force interest rates, that's all good for monetary metals. So people who didn't get that kind of get that now. And that can only be good for silver going forward.
Now, John, in all fairness, haven't we heard this before about the metals, gold and silver and a lot of the other metals, too, that when interest spikes, there are many more, exponentially more futures contracts and options contracts that can be bought on the metal that delivery is never taken. It really is the financialization of the metal more so than a simple buy a gold bar, sell a gold bar.
Yeah, it's the delivery thing that's the issue. If people, let's say some, you know, big traders are out there buying long silver futures contracts and then demanding delivery, and if the big ETFs, which hedge themselves with futures contracts, decide to demand delivery because they need the silver under their obligations, then that bumps up against the available silver on the COMEX or wherever, and then you get a short squeeze or a default or whatever. See, that's the theory. And it hasn't happened yet. You're right, because there are just an amazing number of contracts being traded out there. So there aren't that many people actually demanding physical silver. But this, you know, my point with the Reddit thing is that it brought that story to the attention of a lot of people who had never heard it before. And I know that because my kid is a Reddit trader. And, you know, this was kind of new to him, even though he and I had talked about the gold part of that story in the past. And in his opinion, it was kind of new to a lot of the other Reddit traders. So they got the silver story and are therefore more likely to buy physical silver going forward. At the same time, this thing got a lot of press, which means a lot of people are reading stories about this silver thing going on that they've never heard of before. And they kind of sort of get the story that way because it's dramatic. You know, those were really dramatic stories that showed up in the press for a few days. So that increases the number of people who may be likely to buy 10 silver eagles or 10 maple leaves or something like that, which increases the pressure on the stores of silver out there that are already, you know, they're certainly not much more than are needed in today's market. So, you know, it's just one more thing pointing towards an eventual shortage of silver. It may not cause it in the near term, but it's a, you know, other things being equal, a positive thing for silver stackers to have more people know the story and marginally more people being willing to buy physical.
Fair enough. More people, more eyes on any metal, any sector is good. However, the argument still being that it's the larger money players that can move this metal around. And quite frankly, a lot of these short-term investors, a lot of these Reddit traders, they're very short-term traders, right? They're in and out of markets. They're in and out of stocks very quickly. They're looking for a quick win. Silver, the argument could be more that it's a long-term play, and that doesn't really attract these guys right now.
Well, having to understand the silver market, though, even if you're approaching it as a short-term trader, the fact that you get the silver story in the process of trading it makes you more likely than you were to appreciate the idea of physical silver. So, you know, even if it's just 1 in 100 of the Reddit traders, there are thousands and thousands of Reddit traders, and they have friends. And so it's an at-the-margin kind of thing. You know, it increased the number of people who understand monetary metals and the situation of silver vis-a-vis gold and vis-a-vis solar panels and electric cars and maybe have seen pictures of silver coins and realize they're gorgeous. You know, all of that stuff comes together to lead a person to maybe want to buy some physical silver. And I think there are more people today than there were before the Reddit thing. So to the extent that that's true, it's a good thing. Is it enough to break the COMEX and give us $100 silver? Probably not. But it's, you know, it's one more thing pointing in that direction. Because, you know, that day is still coming. We're destroying these fiat currencies out there at an accelerating rate. And at the same time, we're using those fiat currencies to jump with both feet into alternative energy. You take those two things together and you couldn't have a better fundamental backdrop for something like silver. So I think the story with silver, although, you know, the price is up somewhat in the last couple of years, but the story has gotten dramatically better than the price indicates. And there's no reason to think the story doesn't continue to get better from here because, you know, solar and electric cars are getting cheaper on a asymptotic curve. You know, they're headed for zero. They will never make zero, but they're heading in that direction. And the cheaper they get, the better deal they are in the market, regardless of what kind of subsidies the governments are putting on them. So even if the government goes broke and can't support solar power or electric cars anymore, there are still technologies that will grow going forward, and they'll use more silver. So and then, you know, the destruction of fiat currencies is nothing but good for silver. So all that stuff is just happening. So I think the fact that silver is less than $100 an ounce right now is the thing that's shocking about the market. And those kinds of mispricings don't stay that way for very long. You know, things go to their fundamental value eventually. And I think silver's is well north of 50 and probably more like $100 US dollars an ounce.
Yeah, well, we'll see, John. In all fairness, silver's topped out at 50, so making the call that its fundamental value is 100, well, I'm sure that can be argued, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners will agree with that, but quite frankly, the market does still determine price, so we can say whatever number we want, but saying $100 silver, if people are investing in $100 silver expecting that they're going to get it tomorrow or in the next couple months, that's not the play here, because what you've done is outlined two very different drivers, one being the precious metals aspect, one being the industrial use aspect. So this is all an evolving situation, but I do want to caution people for saying, I need to buy silver now because it's going to go up four times up to $100. We've never seen $100 silver.
Well, Corey, here's how you get $200 silver. Very simple math. Gold goes to $500, and the gold-silver ratio goes
to
25.
Sorry, gold goes to not 500.
Or 5,000.
Also has not been there, John. Also is topped out at 2,100.
Yeah, but in this world, I think we will see $5,000 gold very easily over the next few years. That's just, that's how crazy things are out there. And, you know, if you look at the economy right now, I'm not sure I was able to put my equation out there, but gold goes to 5,000. The gold to silver ratio goes to 25, and that is $200 silver right there. So $100 is cheap in that calculation. But anyhow, the world is just getting crazier and crazier. And we've seen Bitcoin go through the roof. We're seeing all kinds of tech stocks just go through the roof because there's so much money flooding the system. And it's just a matter of time before some of that hot money finds something like silver. And yeah, you're right. It may not happen this week, this month, this year, but it's clearly something that is out there in prospect. And I think that makes silver a very attractive investment right now.
So, John, what's your answer to the people saying, this is the argument that I heard 11, 12 years ago, back at the last peak of the market, everyone saying that the world was going in the toilet and that the metals prices all needed to be higher, the precious metals prices, and then those investors just lived through a 12-year bear market. So it's not a new argument that you're putting out here.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And I did not think the fiat currency financial system could survive the QE that was necessary to get us out of the Great Recession. I was wrong about that. So you are right that my credibility when it comes to short-term timing is not very good at all. But the world is vastly crazier than it was back then. We have literally taken on $20 or $30 trillion of new debt in that time, depending on how you define debt in the world. And we're accelerating the process. So if it took $11 trillion back then of stimulus of various kinds and loan guarantees and stuff to get us out of that, you know, what's coming is going to be bigger. It's going to take $30 or $40 trillion. And the idea that that we come through that unscathed without any real need for safe haven assets, and that our Google stock continues to go up and our house price continues to increase, and we keep our jobs and governments stay nice and stable without any kind of populist revolutions. That is all highly unlikely given the amount of money we're borrowing right now. So I think the thing that should have happened after the Great Recession is much more likely to happen whenever things start to blow up now. You know, whenever PIN is coming along to burst the everything bubble, when it finally comes, things are just going to be beyond crazy because we're having multiple bubbles blow up on us. You know, in the past, it was always some sector-specific thing like tech stocks or junk bonds. This time, it's the global bond market and the global equity market and housing in a bunch of different places and commercial real estate in a bunch of different other different places and possibly cryptos all at once. Those are all bubbles waiting to burst, at least based on their charts in the case of cryptos. When that happens, it's just hard to imagine any kind of a rational market emerging from it. It's just going to be chaos. And precious metals love chaos. So this feels like really the best setup ever for gold and silver. And silver more so than gold, just because it's relatively cheap.
Looking back at history, though, a lot of what you're outlining here is a lot of this fear trade, a lot of worries that individuals could have about the economy, about governments. But if we do see a popping of the bubble, of a financial system, of the everything bubble, it brings everything down, though, right? So investors do need to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, that might be the short-term effect of a huge equities bear market. But remember how governments will respond to that. You know, they can't let that happen because that brings on another Great Depression, and the guys in charge are the Herbert Hoovers of this generation. So, you know, if interest rates are zero when that happens, interest rates will go to negative 3 or 4%. If the government is running a deficit of 8% of GDP when that happens, it'll go to 20% of GDP. If they're sending us $1,000 stimulus checks, it'll be $5,000. All of that will happen. And all of that is terrible for the currencies of those countries and great for the alternative forms of money. So, yeah, if these bubbles start bursting, then it's possible that you want to hedge yourself with some put options on, for instance, gold and silver mining stocks. Deep out of the money, you know, but if they plunge, the options go up, that protects you to an extent. But any kind of a crash in financial assets that pulls down precious metals will probably be like the last two. You know, in 2008, that happened. Gold and silver tanked, but they jumped off a V bottom and just took off on a rip-roaring bull market. In March and April of 2020, same thing happened. Stocks tanked, pulled down gold and silver, the mining stocks dropped, but they immediately turned around and took off and went on to new highs in most cases. Silver went up, gold went up to a new high. Most mining stocks had just doubles and triples from that low. So, you know, if you blinked, you missed those crashes in gold and silver. And I think the same thing would happen again, more than likely, just because the governments of the world are going to have to respond to this so aggressively. They cannot let these bubbles pop because that destroys the financial system over which they preside and, by implication, their political legacy. You know, they will be the guys who did it, who blew up the global economy, and they don't want to do that. They're going to try to inflate their way out of it, if at all possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that aspect, that governments will do whatever they can to stabilize the system. And that also ties in with the market. But then why after, say, this crash, whenever the next crash happens, that it will be gold and silver that take the limelight rather than, in all fairness, after that crash we just saw in March, we have everything else also reaching new highs too, right? So it's not just a gold and silver moving higher.
Yeah, they liquefied the system. So we basically had a kind of a mini hyperinflation of a whole bunch of different assets going up. And they might do the same thing again. The problem is that stocks and bonds and real estate are already historically overvalued by fundamental measures, not just by past price comparisons. So yeah, they could go up, but to go up from here means that they have to... They've already blown through their historical valuation records, and they have to continue. They have to spike from there, which is conceivable. You know, if you look at Venezuela's stock market, while they were having their hyperinflation, their stocks went way up. So it's completely possible that if we devalue the currency aggressively enough, other stuff will go up too, because we're changing the way we measure all those things. So yeah, you know, stocks could go up. But since they're already starting from an extremely overvalued place, it's unlikely that they'll go up in real terms. In other words, they won't go up enough to offset the decline in the value of the currency. But historically, that's exactly what gold and silver do. They protect you from a declining currency by going up in that currency's terms at a rate that is equal to or faster than the currency is being debased. And, you know, that's happened ever since the days of the Roman Empire, without fail. There hasn't been one single time where something like this happened and gold and silver didn't get way more valuable in local currency terms. So this is a better bet. But it is, you're right, possible that if the dollar tanks, that your house might get more valuable in dollar terms and your stock portfolio might actually go up in dollar terms. And who knows, your Bitcoin might go way up. That's all possible. But gold and silver are the best bets in this kind of a situation, because they've always done that. You know, they have never not done it, which is a pretty good track record compared to almost anything else out there.
Well, John, appreciate the insights, man. I know that it's a tough conversation, and I don't mean to give you a hard time. It's just I've heard some of these arguments over a decade ago, and I just want to keep people aware that, you know what, it's not as straightforward as some people might want it to be when it comes to increases in precious metals because of the way these markets function. And if that changes, then it's a totally different world. But right now, these markets are still functioning kind of the way that they have for a while, and that money that's created does land in a wide range of assets as well. But hey, I hear you. There is an everything bubble out there.
And Corey, it's good for you to be asking hard questions. That's really your job. So I appreciate that. You know, forces me to hone my argument a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Yeah. I hope you have a great rest of your week, buddy. Thank you for taking some time on this President's Day in the U.S.
Thanks, Corey. See ya.